I'm about to speak with Tom Phillips, Executive Vice President with the Billy Graham Organization, with some very sobering and hopeful perspectives on America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just tweeted this out seconds ago. What a day to be alive and serving God. The whole world is shaking, and the gospel of Jesus is the only answer. Shout it out. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today. I believe your hearts will be stirred. I think of the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 when Jesus spoke to them after he rose from the dead. And as he opened the scriptures, they didn't know who he was, but as he opened the scriptures, their hearts were burning. I do hope that your hearts will be burning as well as you listen. My guest, dear friend and colleague, Tom Phillips, presently the vice president of the Billy Graham Library for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He served in numerous capacities under Dr. Billy Graham and now Reverend Franklin Graham. Tom, it is a joy for the first time after all these years to bring you to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Michael. It is an honor to be here and to have your listeners as well. Thank you all.
Well, Tom, you have been in the Lord many, many years now and served on the front lines with some of the key ministries on the planet. The world's shaking in very unique ways. America's topsy-turvy. What's your attitude? Hopefulness, hopelessness, despair, frustration? What's your attitude right now?
I think you could take a bit of all of that and put it together. But as Mr. Graham always said, we're hopeful because we have read the last book of the Bible, and God wins. It could be, of course, that we're having some trying times ahead of us, and even now, because of our lack of following the Lord in the United States of America. We haven't totally turned our back on God at all, but we desperately need a revival. We desperately need a new spiritual awakening. And Billy Graham has been burdened for this. You remember back in the late 40s in the 49 crusade in L.A., he said, "I'm praying for an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival in America from coast to coast." And Mr. Graham, at 96 years old, is still praying that same prayer.
So Billy, the Billy Graham Library, I was surprised by how impacted I was when I was there. And you mentioned that quote from Dr. Graham. Here he is, just as a scrawny, you know, young guy in his 30s, contending for revival. And friends, if all of you listening in Greater Charlotte, if you haven't been to the Billy Graham Library, how many folks have come through there?
Well, we've had probably in November of this year, we'll have hit our millionth person going through the journey of faith. We've already had over a million people just come to the library in 7 years. But wow. It looks like from our trending that we'll hit our millionth people going through the gospel presentation, the journey of faith in the back. And we've had over 25,000 various commitments to Christ made in the 7 years we've been open. It's a very special place.
Yeah, it's something just supernaturally impacting. And for me, gave the sense of what God can do through a yielded person. Of course, my esteem for Dr. Graham was high, but just being there was kind of blown away. There was a special exhibit about all the presidents that he administered to and things like that. But so that clip, you know, you show there, but you're saying something like 60 years later,
right?
He's still praying.
He is. And Mr. Graham is humble. He actually said to us that we could not build the Billy Graham Library because he said, "You're not going to build a building with my name on it." And Franklin led the way and said, "Daddy, if we could build a building that led people to Jesus, would you at least look at it?"
Uh-huh.
Look at the plans. And Mr. Graham said, "I would look at it." And so we went to every presidential library to get best practices. And then we went to a group called ITEC, who helped Disney World pull the believers out of that group and work with them to do the animation, computerization, and the flow. And people are overwhelmed when they see it.
Yeah, amazing. And what a testimony how God can use a yielded individual. We come back. We got a whole lot to talk about. If you'd like to call with a question for Tom Phillips, 866-34-TRUTH.
The It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am thrilled to be sitting here face-to-face with Tom Phillips, who served in various senior positions in the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, now Vice President of the Billy Graham Library. And Tom, you've written a number of books on revival-related subjects. What are some of your most popular books?
Well, I think Revival Signs, Join the Coming Great Awakening, and we're just actually republishing it as we speak, because it's nothing but a chronicle of what God is doing. Charles Finney, in his latter years, the great revivalist, wrote Seven Indicators to Know when a revival, a true spiritual awakening, is imminent. Now, of course, here in the South, we call evangelistic campaigns revival.
Right, right.
And God is always pleased when we tell others about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But a revival is something different. It comes in God's time. When God has His people, the church, who come before Him in conviction, confession, repentance, clean themselves by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit's ready to move through them in great evangelism. So we need to see that kind of true revival in America's church today, the children of God today. And revival is not something that's abnormal. A real revival is very normal Christianity. Mm. So my heart is to see real revival of God's children for the sake of the greatest evangelism of the lost possible.
Mm. Now, you served, still served with Dr. Graham. Obviously, Franklin Graham leads the ministry. But you served in the organization years earlier, directly under Dr. Graham. We know God's hand on his life. We know that all glory goes to Jesus. But what were qualities about Dr. Graham that made him, in your mind, exceptional as a human being, as a leader?
Right. Humility. Some people take humility as incompetence or weakness. But the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, and yet he led the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And you, being a completed Jew, know how difficult it can be to lead Jewish folks.
Yeah.
Number two is character. We never had to question Mr. Graham's character. He was focused on the Lord. So that focus on Jesus carried him and built his integrity. Humility, character, integrity, obedience, always following the Lord selflessly. I think also in his humility, he was rather shocked that God did with and through him and Ruth, his wife, a great supporter, as God did, because there are other great preachers. And certainly Mr. Graham wouldn't say, "I'm a great preacher," but he is a great communicator of the gospel of Jesus. So those basic, solid characteristics that allow God the Holy Spirit to work through a yielded vessel are who Mr. Graham is still today.
Mm. Amazing.
It is.
And his wife, Ruth, what role did she play?
Well, of course, Ruth had a desire to be a missionary, as her mother and father had been. Her father, Dr. L. Nelson Bell, was a surgeon, Presbyterian surgeon in China. And she was born in China in the early 1900s, educated in North Korea in Pyongyang. And she saw her father and mother work with the warlords when wars would be going on in China. Dr. L. Nelson Bell would treat soldiers from all the armies in his hospital. Mm-hmm. He had an incredible reputation. In Wuhan, China today, there are four monuments at different places to Dr. L. Nelson Bell as he built larger hospitals and served the people of China. So she wanted to go as a missionary. That heart, when she connected with Billy Graham and God put them together, she always had that sacrificial heart to be a missionary, even as she supported Mr. Graham. Mm. She brought strength to him. She supported him without wavering, whatever it took. She brought those children up under the admonition of the Lord. She was funny. She was always witty and creative. She was a deep woman, a woman of the Word of God. And even as her eyesight diminished in her latter years, she had a large screen TV in front of her, and daily she would memorize scripture to get herself ready for heaven.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary.
She was an amazing woman. Could Mr. Graham have been who he is and has been without her? I doubt it.
Yeah.
God put those two people together and made a union that was incredibly powerful because they were vessels through whom the Holy Spirit could flow. The Holy Spirit could flow unhindered through these supple vessels. There was no hardening of the arteries.
Yeah, wow. And as far as Billy Graham as a leader that instilled hope and courage in the ranks, so as a team functioning with him, if he was going to preach large meetings and maybe there are going to be lots of obstacles, what kind of attitude came from him to those around him?
Well, first of all, he wouldn't go unless God put in his heart to respond to the invitation. And we didn't just go to cities. The office of evangelist is under the umbrella of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And as churches came together in various cities around the world, they would invite Mr. Graham to come. And there were way more than we could do. So we had to winnow thin those number of invitations to the point that we knew those cities were ready for a united evangelistic campaign. And because Mr. Graham then would approach the several cities that were presented to him, he had to say no to some for this year, put them off for another year. We knew he came to that in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go with him anywhere, knowing that he went to God in prayer. He got his guidance from the Lord in prayer, that God spoke through this man that we trusted. And we were always hopeful. We were always expectant. And the people that he touched were blessed because he was really an aqueduct, a conduit, a pipe from the Holy Spirit right to other people. And he had such vision. Christianity Today started with Mr. Graham. Luzon Committee started with Mr. Graham. All the Amsterdam conferences to train the world's evangelists started with Mr. Graham. Bible colleges, seminaries. God just used him to build the next generation of men and women of God. And it was an honor to serve under him.
Mm. And when he preached in Russia, I remember the controversy when it was, you know, Soviet Union then, and did he fall under deception there? You know, they packed the churches out and gave this appearance of freedom of religion, and of course it wasn't. So he was just a stooge of the communists. And others say, no, actually, he helped bring the Iron Curtain down. What's your perspective on that?
Well, Mr. Graham knew and knows that the gospel is more powerful than communism. And this gave him an open door to share Jesus personally with every Politburo member he met.
Mm.
He also was instrumental in helping get the Siberian Seven out of the embassy, and they had fled there for their lives. So Mr. Graham went as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, people said, don't go, you'll be used by the communists. And he was thinking, no. They're letting me come in with the gospel. They don't have a clue the power that's going to be unleashed. And there was prayer. There were ministers of the gospel behind the Iron Curtain. But when Billy came in and people like in Timisoara were screaming out, you know, preach to us, Billy, preach to us, Billy, it gave a spark to the faithful. And also it brought the gospel throughout the Eastern European countries because people took their tape recorders. And it might be 20,000 people under the trees listening. And when he quit speaking, it was like crickets chirping everywhere as the tape recorders went off. And, of course, those tapes of truth were reproduced and put throughout the Iron Curtain. So, yes, Mr. Graham had a lot to do with bringing down of falsehood and a fake religion called atheism through the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amazing. Power of the gospel.
Power of the gospel.
Power of the gospel. And you'll often hear people say, well, Franklin Graham is getting involved in all these social controversies, but his dad never did that. His dad just preached about Jesus. Is that an accurate statement or no?
No, that's not an accurate statement, because in Mr. Graham's early days, when communism was rearing its ugly head to take over the world, and it was a devastating lack of faith and atheism, but also it persecuted people. And Mr. Graham spoke out. Abortion, he spoke out. The civil rights, he not only spoke out whenever they would segregate stadiums with ropes, you know, the whites sit here and the blacks sit here. He himself went down and took those ropes down. So he spoke out on moral issues. Why do people think that we're divided as human beings and we don't have a complex whole that God put together? All these issues that Franklin is speaking out today, They're not political issues. They're moral issues. Mm. We've made them political issues, but they're issues straight from God. And he is standing up sometimes in a solitary way to tell the truth what God's word says. His daddy did the same thing, and it's not accurate to say his father did not.
Yeah, and the clips I've heard from messages from Dr. Graham, he's preaching about the social ills of the day in terms of the wickedness of the world and then the wickedness of the individual human heart, calling for repentance. Let's talk about Franklin when we come back. And why is he so strong about Islam and some of these other things? Is he departing from the gospel message, or is this the very thing we need to hear and wake us up? 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for my guest, Tom Phillips. This is Dr. Michael Brown, host of The Line of Fire. If you haven't been to AskDrBrown.org, what are you waiting for? There are hundreds of free audios, videos, articles to help equip you. And while you're there, check out the benefits of becoming a torchbearer, a monthly supporter of The Line of Fire. This week, we're giving all new torchbearers Let the Lion Roar, our special offer for the week. DVD, CD, CDs of interviews, and a book, more than a $40 value, all yours as you partner with us as a torchbearer. Together, we're making a difference.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, sitting here with Dr. Tom Phillips, Vice President of the Billy Graham Library for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And Tom, over lunch, we were talking about some very intense issues. It was anything but a casual, laid-back lunch. It's like we're in the midst of revolution all around us, and what's God doing in the midst of it? And I said that I was so thankful for the voice of Franklin Graham and really felt that he is right now the loudest voice, Christian voice in America on key issues. For some time now, he has spoken plainly about Islam in the most politically incorrect ways, and obviously with a burning heart to reach the Muslims. Where does this burden come from? Why is he addressing these things so strongly?
The Bible says in Romans that Paul said, "I'm an apostle separated to the gospel of God." Franklin is called to the gospel of God. He says, and we all say, we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Gentile, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. So Franklin's burden is for those who don't know the Lord, and those of Islam don't know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the truth that the statements that they're propagating are not true. And he's just telling the truth. But he's not anti-Islam. He's pro-people, mm-hmm. knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not about religion. It's about an eternal relationship with the Savior. And he's constantly sharing that Jesus Christ is the answer, even for ISIS, the members of ISIS. Yeah. Jesus is the answer. You've seen it. I've seen it. Jesus turns lives around. People who are going in one direction, perhaps very evil, or people caught in addictions. In a moment, the Lord can save them and redeem them. And, of course, we lift up people like Pastor Saeed Abedini, who's in the Iranian prisons now for his faith. And there are many others that are. So Franklin is a standard bearer, obediently telling the truth, not to hurt anyone, but to help everyone.
Yeah. And obviously, you've got a correct error. You've got exposed darkness when you bring the light as well. What's burning in Franklin Graham's heart right now for America? Does he see and believe that revival is possible, or does he think that we've gone too far and it's over for the nation?
Well, I think Franklin would say that he knows we need desperately to see a spiritual movement from God, mm-hmm. and that it is very urgent. It's a crisis hour. It's a Kairos moment. And he is calling the nation, as his father has done, back to the biblical foundations that made this nation great. This is not just nostalgia. This is what this nation needs today, is to know God and follow His principles. I've worked in China for years, and I've had Chinese leaders who are Communist Party members pull me aside and say, tell me about your faith. My answer, my question would be, why do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to be successful, and I believe the faith of Americans has made them successful.
Interesting.
Now, that is true.
Yeah.
It has been the principles of God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. When we seek after God, He blesses our nation. And it's not that we're special. Our nation is just all the nations of the world come together in a melting pot called America. But the principles of God's love and God's truth, His lifestyle, character, integrity, justice, they all come together in Jesus. And when we receive Him as Lord and Savior, empty evil out of our lives, go to the Word of God, dig in and find out how to live and love others, then people change, families change, states change, provinces change, nations change. And Franklin wants to call our nation to truth, back to biblical values and back to what God has told us that is best for us.
If you could push a button and influence every born-again pastor in the nation, every preacher and leader who knows the Lord, and you could push a button to get them to preach on a certain theme, a certain subject in coming weeks, what would it be? I've been amazed just living in the same city with Billy Graham Library, getting to speak sometimes at the devotional chapel services for the staff, having the joy of being your guest in China a year and a half ago, meeting with Chinese leaders. As much esteem as I've had for Dr. Graham's ministry and Franklin Graham's ministry, it's only been increased being around, seeing how well connected you are. So you might be able to push some buttons, but if you were God and could push a button and pastors and leaders across America would preach on a certain theme in coming weeks, what would you want them to preach on for the good of the nation?
Well, this sounds simple, but we keep hearing that we need to nationalize healthcare. We need to nationalize the police of America. Forgive me. We need to Jesusize healthcare. We need to Jesusize the police of America, because it's God's love through Jesus that changes the world. If I could punch a button, I'd have every preacher preaching on the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love. 1 Corinthians 15, He came, He lived, He died, He was resurrected, He promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, He's coming again. You must receive Him. That is the message that's desperately needed today, not knowledge about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. People come to me and say, I know Jesus. My question back to them is, but does He know you? Is it knowledge or is it a relationship? That would change our nation.
So back to the basics.
Back to the basic. Jesus Himself, yes, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then as believers heard this, those who were saved, they would have a fresh encounter with Him, fall more deeply in love with Him, share the gospel more, live differently, and that's the spark to everything, isn't it?
That is revival.
Yeah.
That's normal Christianity. Yes, absolutely.
Back to the basic.
Back to the basic.
Just share the title of the book you mentioned on revival before your book.
Revival Signs?
Yeah.
Yes, it's just the chronicling of the indicators that Charles Finney, the great revivalist of the 1800s, wrote down in his latter years to know when a revival is imminent. There were seven of them.
Yep, yep.
And all I did in the late 1980s and early 1990s is looked around, and I saw all seven of those indicators operative to some degree, and just began to chronicle what God was doing. What God was doing, not what man is doing,
right,
or woman, but what God, and it's even growing now in the midst of all the turmoil and all the chaos.
Yeah.
It's actually growing. So I'm very anticipatory. I have great expectation.
Yeah, and I live with it every second of every day. Friends, I'm going to continue speaking with Tom Phillips. To get the whole interview, if you miss any part of it, go to my website later today, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to check that out. While you're there, be sure to click on the resource offer on the homepage. It's tremendous material. Let the Lion Roar, the DVD, the Blu-ray disc, the CD interviews, the book, Antisemitism and Church History, God's Purposes for Israel. Whoa, check it out at askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to come back to talk about indicators of revival, signs that revival could be near, what happens when revival breaks out, with my guest, Dr. Tom Phillips, Executive Vice President at for the Billy Graham Library, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and in studio with me, Michael Brown here, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. But before we get into that, Tom, a Samaritan's Purse, a massive compassion ministry worldwide, this is a very obvious arm of the gospel. How does the ministry tie in feeding the poor, helping those in need, with a clear message of Jesus so that they understand, yes, we do this because we love you, and we do this because God loves you, and here's a message of eternal hope?
Right. During Mr. Graham's preaching through the years, sometimes we would have churchmen who would criticize him and say that he wasn't an activist with social needs. So we had a committee in every crusade called Love in Action, where we would deal with needs in that particular city. Franklin has been called to do this on a global scale. We've never heard criticism toward Franklin.
No.
That you don't have compassion, you're not interested in the social needs of people.
In fact, that's how he was known first, really.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So everything that Franklin does is driven by the gospel. We always, in every project around the world, make sure that Jesus' love is shared, not just that water is given, wells are dug, or houses are provided, but we explain who Jesus is, why we do what we do, what's the motivation of Samaritan's Purse. It's the gospel. Franklin has a great team working with him at Samaritan's Purse. They all have that same heart. Every compassion project around the world, unless it's in a country where it's illegal to share the gospel, mm-hmm. is driven by the proclamation of the gospel. And frankly, there's even an internal auditor who goes around and makes sure
really?
That not only is the water given in Jesus' name, but also that the gospel is clearly explained to those who are interested. That's what we do. The food, the clothing, the shelter is an outworking of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart's been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ of everyone who works with Samaritan's Purse.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Hey, I'm just going to squeeze in a quick call here, and then I want to switch over to the revival subject. We'll go to Miami, Florida. Josh, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, sir. Hi. This is Josh from Miami, and I just want to say that this is the perfect timing. Yes, definitely revival is possible, and, you know, somehow God led me to, like, Psalms 119, and it's all throughout the Psalms is talking about revive me for your name's sake, revive me for your righteousness' sake. And somehow, you know, I mean, it is possible, and I've been downloading all possible videos and YouTubes and everything, whatever I can, regarding what I got from you regarding the Brownsville revival. So mm-hmm. yes, definitely it is possible, and we are looking forward to it. And I'm so pleased that, you know, like the timing of what God is dealing with me for revival and is what you're talking about. So it's kind of perfect timing. So yes, it is possible.
Good. That's why I wanted to get your voice on to affirm the timing issue. Thanks, Josh. We've got less than a minute, but Frank and Graham in touch with leaders across America. Where are their hearts at? What's he hearing from them?
Well, actually, we're hearing more and more and more because they are where he is, supporting him. As you had mentioned to me at lunch, people invite you to speak who already have an inclination to where
yes.
God has led you. So the leaders who are where Franklin is are coming out of the woodwork to support him and to stand with him. And that's his heart, to call the leaders of every state to join in to call this nation back to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's best for people's lives, it's best for families, it's best for governments, it's best for industry. God's word produces benefits. It's called the kingdom of God. Eventually, right now, we can accomplish much of that on earth.
Yep. And in point of fact, we turn away from God, and there are all kinds of negative consequences. We'll be right back, talking about signs, indicators of revival.
The Line
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for my guest, Tom Phillips, Vice President of the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tom, I remember reading decades ago Finney's lectures on revival, and boy, did those ignite something in my heart, and a hunger and a thirst and a vision. And when he'd lay out the signs of revival, and then even, okay, this indicates something's already happening then if you see this going on, and that would also mean that someone's praying behind the scenes. There are many people praying because it's not going to happen on its own. So God wants to move, the old Matthew Henry thing. So he puts it in the hearts of his people to pray that he'll move. And then he pours out his spirit. So what are those indicators? You compiled them late 80s, early 90s, or updated them and saw what was happening. Of course, we had great revival movements in the mid 90s and for some sustained time, and the fruit of that remains. But what are those and how do they apply today?
Okay, thanks. Well, he had seven indicators to know when God was going to move. Now, there may be more, there may be less, but this is what Charles Finney said. Number yep. one is when we realize we're in a trough. That has two meanings. One is when we see sin is so bad, there's no way out but God. Mm. And the other is when Christians are beginning to pray out of desperation.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two is when wickedness grieves and humbles Christians.
Mm.
We tend as believers to pray for the sin of the world. We do, and we should pray for what's happening with the Yahidis or the Christians in northern Iraq.
Yeah.
We need to pray for the sin of the world. And God stores those prayers. He never lets go of a prayer. They are powerful.
Yeah.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini and others. But as we pray, as we become disciplined in our prayer life, there's a moment in which you're in prayer, and all of a sudden, though you're praying for the sins of the world and the needs of the world and the hurts of the world and the pain of the world, it's like God the Holy Spirit holds a mirror in front of your face, and in the mirror is that perfect face of love, Jesus Christ, and you see yourself reflected with all your flaws and all your evil and all your blackness, even as a believer, and God just breaks your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then personal awakening comes when you're grieved over your own sin.
Yeah.
Number three is when the ministers, the clergy, begin to confess their sins. And I've seen this happen with the great pastors' prayer summits with Dr. Joe Aldridge and Terry Dirks all over America back in the early 90s, late 80s. And still many of them are going on, where hundreds of pastors would come together to pray for 4 days,
mm-hmm.
and they would end up confessing a multitude of sins. The one I was in Portland, Oregon, every sin known to man save murder was confessed in those 4 days.
Wow.
But no gossip came out of it, because the white-hot light of God's Spirit fell on everybody and convicted each of us to the degree we had that sin in our own lives. Number five is when Christians began to confess to one another openly. And what it is out of the Bible says that there's a generation of those who seek Him, a generation who seek your face. And when people begin to seek Jesus, conviction comes to mm-hmm. see as God sees, confession comes to agree with God, and then repentance comes, which means not only to turn from sin, but to turn to Jesus. Number six is when we're willing to sacrifice personally whatever it takes for God to move in our families, in our nation. And the number seven is when pastors and laity, all of us, say, God, we will promote your movement, promote it, by any and all means. We won't have a predetermined course that God must take. But when we see him moving, we'll say, God, I'll give everything I've got to this. If we will do those things, realize we're in a trough, understand that wickedness grieves and humbles us, begin to pray, confess as leaders, confess as laity, sacrifice whatever it takes, promote it in any and all ways, the results are always the same. We return to Scripture. We return to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have a personal, greater devotional life. We grow in our witnessing to other people. We share our faith more. And then joy. Mm. Incredible joy comes in the pure life. And that magnetically then begins to draw the unsaved, because the church is often characterized as bigoted, intolerant, vile. But when joy takes over, and out of that joy comes a love that's compassionate and understanding and caring, then the unsaved world is drawn to Jesus.
Now, I just got a junk mail the other, you know, just take a quick glance in my folder, make sure there's nothing in there from someone I know, and then delete everything. And I noticed this thing, you know, best roofing prices, etc. So here's what went through my mind. Obviously, I don't need a roof. You know, we're in our house is fine, I don't need a roof. And that then made me think of a friend telling me the illustration of if I know a great cardiologist, and I'm going somewhere with this, and I tell you, hey, Tom, here's a terrific cardiologist. You should give him a call. If you're healthy, you're not going to call him. But if, God forbid, you just had a heart attack and needed surgery, then you say, Mike, what's the name of that cardiologist? So hearing that list, which is so profound, that Finney's spiritual penetration was so profound and deep, what strikes me again is so much of the American mentality, the American church mentality, is cozy and comfortable. And yeah, we got some problems out there and beheading the people, that's, you know, ISIS, that's bad, and economic things. But basically, you know, hey, the new iWatch, Apple Watch is out and all this, and, you know, sports is big and stuff, and life's okay for the most part, and stock market's doing well. So the desperation, the willingness to sacrifice, missionaries do it day and night to go to the lost, people burdened for the lost do it day and night. So as I hear that, what strikes me is, okay, as much bad news is happening, more people are getting to that point of willingness to do whatever it takes. More people are recognizing that we are stuck and that wickedness is sin around us. More churches and leaders willing to say, hey, it's not just because our church is doing well doesn't mean that revival's in the land. So I do see something rising right now. What's your analysis, having looked at those signs and written about them, 20-something years ago? What are you seeing today?
I think prayer is rising like never before. I believe around the world today we're in the middle of the greatest prayer movement in the history of the Christian church. Now, God calls us to prayer. He calls us to our knees. The burden for prayer comes from heaven above. Mm-hmm. R.A. Torrey, the great preacher, once said, "We'll see revival when a few people begin to pray as they did before Pentecost." Prayer is nothing but communication with the Lord. And that's what I see happening. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So there's a secret in prayer. And power's unleashed. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Mm-hmm. That's the prayer I hear. I hear people crying out, let us be the generation who seek your face, especially, interestingly, among young people. I believe this generation of young people is the greatest generation since World War II, even though Tom Brokaw was right when he wrote his book, The Greatest Generation. The World War II vets were incredible. But when I meet young people around the world who fall in love with Jesus, they're incredible. Mm. They give up everything to go serve the Lord. Mm. I've never seen a generation like this. And the Bible says very clearly in Joel 2 and Acts 2, God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. In Isaiah, he says, in the last days, I'll do a new thing. And then he quantifies it and qualifies it in Joel 2 and Acts 2. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. It's the Spirit of God that calls us to prayer. And it will be your young people who are the prophets that tell the truth tellers. It'll be your young people who are the visionaries. And I take that to mean vision to win the world. Mm-hmm. And it's your older people like me who become the dreamers. And I believe that means to dream the dream with the young people, to encourage them, exhort them, train them, resource them, challenge them as necessary. So I just see prayer rising. I see hope rising. But we're not desperate enough yet.
Yeah. I'm in the same place with you. I'm absolutely for the joining of the generations. In fact, you know, a lot of times we get things wrong because we're told, well, just see what the young generation believes and the church has to trend in that direction. I said, no, the older generation has to disciple the younger generation, but God wants them to be world changers. And I know we can get desensitized with all the things that we can just watch. And, you know, you look on your cell phone and hear someone being burned alive. You know, I mean, this is unprecedented. But with the desensitizing, on the other hand, there is that rising desperation. And I do want to talk about Islam a little bit more. We're close to a break here. But if you could just tell an individual believer, what would you encourage them to do in 30 seconds? What would you encourage them to do between them and God for revival?
I would cry out to God to have His way, regardless of the cost.
Say that again.
I would encourage them to cry out to God to have His way with them personally, with this nation, regardless of the cost, because nothing is more important than this nation reconnecting with God Almighty.
Yeah. Sobering words, and Tom, I'm with you inch for inch. Oh, God, get hold of me, get hold of our church, get hold of the nation, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence, so that Jesus may be glorified. That's why we're here. That's why we have life and breath. That's a prayer. God will answer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, we are your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. This week, if you become a torchbearer, one of our monthly supporters, our special resource offer, our special offer with Let the Lion Roar, DVD, Blu-ray disc, and other materials. Check it out on the website. We're giving you as a free gift when you become a torchbearer, standing with us, holding our hands up on the front lines. A gentleman that's been on the front lines even longer than me and serving those on the front lines even longer than him, Dr. Tom Phillips of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Tom, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast that Billy Graham, in his early years, as communism was rising, addressed that, spoke out against the evils of communism as he preached the gospel, and that Franklin Graham has been speaking out against Islam as a false religion, plainly for some years now. I guess he takes some criticism for that?
Yeah, I don't think Franklin would say I speak out against it. I think Franklin would just say I tell the truth. You know, Franklin is not against any group or any people, but he is for salvation of all people. And if there is error that is really harming others, he tells the truth. And yes, he gets criticism for it because our society, in many ways, the Bible would say has backslidden or turned its back on God. But in some ways, our society, in terms of moral issues, is actually comatose.
Mm.
We're not dead, but we're worse than asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like in a coma. You may have seen on the beaches of Florida recently where this young girl was raped repeatedly.
Yeah.
And people just watched it. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything about it. What's happened to America? What's happened to us when we walk around a person who's having a heart attack on the street? Something has occurred in our society.
Yeah.
It's like we're not insane. We're insensitive. But we're worse than insensitive. We're comatose.
Yeah.
Now, revival comes from a Greek word, anazeo, that means bring back to life, that which is dead, comatose, or asleep.
Mm-hmm.
We truly need our hearts awakened. God made the heart. He's Creator God, but He's also Recreator God. When we open our life to Him and His love flows in, He resensitizes us. But that happens first with His children called the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not a building with four walls. The church are God's kids. And an old saying is, when churches are thus awakened or revived, the salvation of sinners will follow.
Yes.
But it starts with His kids. And sometimes we as His kids are so focused outside of ourselves that we forget that God wants to use us. And Franklin allows God to use him.
And therefore he'll speak out fearlessly.
He will.
And at the same time seek to reach people. I've got an article I wrote last night. It'll go up tonight. Folks can see it by going to AskDrBrown.org after 8 o'clock tonight. We'll have it posted. But it's my take on the Muhammad cartoon contest. On the one hand, commending the courage of Pam Geller and these others who are going to stand up for free speech. And the more radical Islam wants to intimidate, the more they're going to shout out their message. But from a gospel perspective, why unnecessarily offend Muslims with something like that? So those are the reservations I have. obviously Franklin has to balance that. He's a prophetic voice in America and the world. He's going to speak against evil. And at the same time, he's going to seek to reach people saying, this is false, this is wrong, but here is the truth. It's a certain tension
right.
you walk in, but it is part of the gospel.
Franklin, in one way, is a complete package. Just a week ago, he finished a festival, evangelistic outreach, in Barcelona, Spain, with great attendance and great response. At the same time, the rapid response team of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is going into Baltimore. At the same time, the projects for Samaritan's Purse are occurring in ravaged areas around the world. At the same time, Franklin is speaking prophetically about the truth relative to moral and faith issues. So really, in some ways, people don't understand what a complete package of ministry he personally is. And from that, the BGEA, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Samaritan's Purse, World Medical Missions, Operation Christmas Child, the Billy Graham Library, the Billy Graham Training Center, it all comes together as a package of ministry that's the whole gospel.
Yeah, and of course, on a smaller scale, the work that I'm involved with, I may be addressing major moral and cultural issues here, but we're constantly involved in Jewish outreach, Jewish ministry. We have our grads serving as missionaries around the world, and we have a local church, and you know, we're serving needs of community and so on. So it's all of the above as opposed to either or. And we can't let the secular media define who we are as ministers of the gospel.
That's absolutely correct. There are people who are in all of those facets of ministry who start slipping when it comes to telling the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so much easier to give a couple of cold water and never talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When people are in need, they'll take food, they'll take clothing, they'll take shelter, they'll take water. But we don't stop there. We can't. We know Jesus. He loves us. He's changed our lives. He can change their life. He can bring a nation out of bondage. He can bring a person out of bondage. Yes, we should be compassionate, but we also should be incredibly spiritually compassionate with the truth that sets them free. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Franklin does.
And if folks want to, obviously, massive distribution, Decision Magazine, the websites, all the work that's done, but I'm sure there are listeners that just over the years have not connected with Franklin Graham's ministry, with Dr. Graham's ministry. If you're going to send them to one website, what's the best place for them to connect?
Just go to BGEA.org.
Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. BGEA.org.
And all the ministries are listed there. The ministries to children, the ministries to youth, the ministries to adults, the compassion ministries, the internet ministries, the radio ministry, the television ministry, the film ministry. It's amazing.
Yeah, and last year was a massive internet outreach campaign.
That's right. We've just passed 6 million people making commitments to Christ on the internet that was begun about 3 years ago. That's phenomenal. And that's Jesus.net. The gospel is so clearly explained when people go. They search for Jesus. They search for hope. There are all kinds of ways to get into that website. And we have television monitor in the Billy Graham Library where we can see who's owned from what country and the last four people that were owned getting the gospel. And interestingly, we've had a spike in response from the Middle East since ISIS has begun to murder not only other people, but other Muslims.
Yeah, absolutely. I just read today about Hamas apparently blowing up a mosque that was led by ISIS affiliates in Gaza. So Muslims, killing Muslims, it's a terrible loss. But then Muslims also saying something's wrong here, got to be more. So it's interesting now in Dr. Graham's later years, even more people coming to faith than through his face-to-face meetings through the internet. Tom, joy speaking with you. Friends, got another hour of broadcast. I've got a few more questions for Tom Phillips. Join us at AskDrBrown.org. Check out Dr. Graham's, Franklin Graham's ministry website if you've not been there. My bottom line today, in the words of my guest Tom Phillips, it's not a matter of back to the basics, but back to the basic, Jesus Christ himself, crucified and risen. I'm about to speak with Tom Phillips, Executive Vice President with the Billy Graham Organization, with some very sobering and hopeful perspectives on America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if you live in North Carolina, if you live around Charlotte, you'll see things like Billy Graham Parkway. And if you come from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, you'll be struck by that. Like, wow, named after a preacher. I mean, we're kind of used to it living around here. But God used Dr. Billy Graham, continues to, and has sent Franklin Graham in ways that are literally touching people around the world. But there's a special impact that's felt if you live in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina. My guest joining me today, Dr. Tom Phillips, is the vice president of the Billy Graham Library here in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, and has served in various capacities for many years now under Dr. Graham and Franklin Graham. We just had a great hour talking and resume a second hour. Tom, welcome back to the broadcast. And right here in Charlotte, what's the unique connection between Charlotte, North Carolina, and Dr. Billy Graham?
Well, of course, he was born here. Interestingly, his father was a dairy farmer at Park Road Shopping Center. That used to be the Graham Dairy Farm. And about 1924, Billy Sunday had an evangelistic campaign. About 8 years later, Mr. Graham's father and other key lay leaders started praying for another evangelistic campaign, and they went to pastors. And at first, the pastors were not quite so interested. So these men, businessmen, met in a field on Mr. Graham's dairy farm, Billy's daddy's dairy farm. And for 2 years, they prayed that God would bring another great evangelistic campaign to Charlotte. Mm. And listen to this. They prayed intentionally that in that campaign, God would raise up a young man to take the gospel throughout the world.
Mm. Mm.
And Mr. Graham was actually praying also for the salvation of his son, Billy. Who would have ever dreamed that when Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte, they had the campaign that Billy would be saved and that he would become, from an intentional prayer by a daddy and a group of small men, the power of intentional prayer, the vehicle to carry the gospel throughout the world. So Charlotte is like a seedbed of gospel proclamation to the whole globe.
Incredible.
It's an amazing intentional prayer story.
And in it, obviously, I know Dr. Graham from his fame. You know, when I was a new believer in 71, that was the name you knew, and seen preaching on TV and so on. So you think, okay, and he meets with presidents and all this, but he was an unlikely candidate. I mean, you give the background here. He was an unlikely candidate.
He was. It's an amazing story of obedience. And as we mentioned earlier, character, humility, integrity, love of the Word of God, incredible prayer life, and amazing support from his spouse, Ruth. And that place where his dad and those other men prayed, we have found it. We know where it is. And I actually go there in my car and just sit.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I can see you're touched by the Spirit.
And let the Lord touch me.
Yeah.
Because intentional prayer of just a few people, God can work through that in ways we don't even understand.
Mm.
We don't understand the power of prayer. It doesn't have to be millions. It's wonderful if they are, but it can be just a few. And out of a few men sacrificially praying that God would lift up a young man to take the gospel throughout the world, he did it. He did it. God did it.
You know, I just sense this spark. We've got a break coming up. But some of you listening, you're in small prayer groups, and it's two or three or five of you praying. I believe God just spoke to you to pray intentionally. Pray specific prayers. Pray big, impossible prayers. I believe faith has just sparked in some hearts. And let the prayer birth another Billy Graham, another revival. Hey, we're talking about God. What can God do? We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to be with you. Had an extraordinary time in Singapore last week. Great ministry. I've got to share some of that with you yesterday. Many lives powerfully touched. We had some great guest hosts for me and some special shows we did, but I was not able to broadcast live as I normally do, and thrilled to be back live this week. My special guest in studio with me, Dr. Tom Phillips, author of books on revival and other subjects, and has served in numerous senior capacities with Dr. Billy Graham's ministry and Franklin Graham's ministry. Now is the vice president of the Billy Graham Library. Let me just put this out. If you've been to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, it's right near the airport. In fact, if you fly into the airport, you'll often see ads for the Billy Graham Library there. If you've been to the library, as I have, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, if you were impacted. If you were impacted by the visit, hundreds of thousands of people have gone through the multiplied hundreds of thousands have gone through, taken the tour. And if you wonder, library, it's called the library, but it's a life tour. It's with video. It's powerfully put together, very, very well done on every level, as you'd expect. But if you've been there and were impacted, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Tom, why don't you give an invitation to folks, tell them what they'll experience when they come, and if they've been there before, why they should go again.
The library is, as one man said to me about a year ago, a very thin place. And I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up. It's a Scottish saying that means God sets aside certain geographical areas of the world or places in the world that have a very thin spiritual atmosphere, where he can reach down and touch the heart of man and woman, a young person, very easily, or they can reach up and touch him. And the library is a thin place. So when you get there, on the left as you come in is the actual home place of Mr. Graham from about 9 years old till 17 when he left home. And then there's the library, which is in the shape of a barn to show the humility of his upbringing, mm-hmm. with a 30-foot glass cross. It's all about the cross. And when you go inside, there is an incredible bookstore called Ruth's Attic, after Mrs. Graham's name, Ruth. Incredible sandwich shop called the Dairy Bar. But on the right is the beginning of the journey of faith. Mm. And the journey of faith is all about from invitation to know Jesus Christ, Mr. Graham's life in those early days in the crusade in Los Angeles in 1949, a wonderful room about Ruth, how Mr. Graham and the media came together, the speeches of Mr. Graham during the crisis times of America, video. There's a rebuilt Berlin Wall inside. It's all about the man, Jesus Christ, the ministry that he put through his man, Billy Graham, the mission and the results of all that, how we did it. World of Flame is a huge room about the international ministry of Mr. Graham, that actually is video talking. A lot of interaction. It's done, as I mentioned earlier, by a group called iTech that did the computerization, animation, and the flow. But it's also kept together by the Billy Graham team who made it all about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And at the very end are testimonies and then a final theater where you sit down and there's a montage of invitations that Mr. Graham gives, and everybody has a chance to let God speak to them. It's all about God's work in our lives.
Yeah.
Recommitments, rededications, assurance of salvation, and first-time commitments. And just as we have in festivals, celebrations, previously Mr. Graham's crusades, there are trained people to pray with you, to help you spiritually, to answer questions. It's an incredible daily crusade. It's the ongoing legacy, live ministry of Mr. Graham, and everyone's invited. People come and go, I never dreamed it could be like this, and it's free. And we say, well, it really isn't free in the sense that the friends of the library give the money to make it free for you, but it's a symbol of the gospel. People think the gospel's free. It is, but it costs Jesus Christ his life on the cross, mm-hmm. and it costs the power of God to resurrect him, and it was all done for you. Salvation's for you. the library's for you. So everyone should come. And then we have prayer groups from all over the city that say, can we come and walk the grounds? Because Mrs. Graham's buried there. Mr. Graham will be. George Beverly Shea is buried there. It's an incredible prayer environment. We encourage everyone to come and spend time in prayer and just meditate. And we have business people, women and men, who tell me on their way to the airport, they'll stop there and just pray to get their hearts right for the trip that they're going on.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. As I said the last hour, I was surprised at how powerfully impacted I was personally just by seeing God's hand on Dr. Graham's life, how inspiring it was to me to see his witness to presidents, see him in front of the media, you know, interacting with Woody Allen and these others, and just always clear about the gospel.
Always.
And they knew who he was. They knew what was coming. They had him on. That's why he was on. Full of love, full of joy, and clear message. And, you know, the other thing that surprised me, because I'm in front of the secular media some, so, you know, you get these things meant to stump you or throw at you. He was sharp with his answers.
He was. And he always came back with the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
And he would just say, I'm not saying this, Phil Donahue. This is what God says. And then Phil wouldn't have any way to come back because
right.
it was truth. One time, Phil even took the microphone that's on the video and gave it, put it toward a guest in the audience and said, is what Mr. Graham said true? And this young man says, well, it really is. And so Phil was totally stuck. It's a blessing to go through the library. There are certain galleries that I slip into when I'm weary.
Really?
That refresh me.
Wow.
We've got local pastors who've been through up to 12 times because it's such a refreshing environment. I meet pastors all the time that say, this is my sixth time, this is my fifth time. It just renews your spirit.
And how many nations have come through there?
Over 84.
Over 84 nations.
Yeah, and
wow.
Each year, nearly every single year, all states, people from every state come
Tremendous.
Through. And I meet people all the time, Nigeria, London, South Africa, Korea, who tell me they've come because God told them to come to the library to pray or to be renewed in evangelism. It's amazing the draw. Because it's local, some of our North Carolinians have not even been. They have no idea how powerful it is.
It was some years before I went. My late departed friend Steve Hill was in the city just briefly and said he's going to go by the library, you know, years back, and swung by with my son-in-law. Actually, they went to it, and I'm here all the time. And it was quite a while before I finally went. I kicked myself for it. Other families been since and impacted. You mentioned George Beverly Shea, though. He went to be with the Lord past 100 years old.
Right.
And going strong, too,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, yes.
What's the background to the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus?
He came down one morning, and the piano was there, and he had a poem, I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold, and he just sat down and wrote it. And about a week and a half or 2 weeks after that, I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold, I'd Rather Have Him Than Riches Untold. He was offered a major recording contract that was lucrative. But because just a week or so before he had written that song, God spoke to him and said no. And it was right after that that Billy Graham came to him and said, would you help me?
Really?
And if he had taken that contract, he wouldn't have been available.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great story?
It is.
Yeah.
And then he sang that for decades.
Oh, my favorite. I'd Rather Have Jesus. Amen. Because that's what is the common denominator that changes this planet, God's love, and reflected in the greatest revelation of all, his son, Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection.
All right. Now, after all that, I'd Rather Have Jesus, Christ-centered messages. Now you have Franklin Graham speaking up courageously. Involved all these years in Samaritan's Purse and on the front lines in some of the most war-devastated parts of the world and helping and ministering, and his own story, Rebel with a Cause, you know, and how God got a hold of him out of his rebellion, all that. Is he preaching the same message? Is he doing gospel outreach? What's happening?
Totally. His message is the same, simple, clear gospel presentation. Young people during Mr. Graham's day had a biblical context in their lives, in America especially, but young people today may not. So the clear proclamation of the gospel from Franklin touches the hearts, especially of young people today. And Will Graham, Franklin's son,
yes,
is also an incredible evangelist. He directs and runs the Billy Graham Training Center of the Cove. But he, too, is all over the world doing evangelism. We also have other associate evangelists, Victor Hamm, Robert Cunville, David Ruiz. That would be Eastern Europe, India, and Latin America, respectively. So we see about 30 or 40 festivals, celebrations, what would have been called crusades before, every year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know.
Yeah, so the gospel is going forth. And of course, the biggest outreach of all through internet, where you've seen more than 6 million people profess faith
in
Jesus.
And also what we call My Hope.
Right, the My Hope campaign, exactly. So the gospel is going forth now under Franklin Graham as strong as ever. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. So I posted this on Facebook yesterday. I did an interview for another ministry, an extended interview, and they sent me a thank you gift, and it's I can see it through the glass pane of my studio into my office, and it's Godiva chocolates of all kinds, things I would have feasted on in the past, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate with almonds, all kinds of things like that. And I posted on Facebook and said, it was almost like a temptation from the devil sent by a ministry. Actually, no temptation at all because of God's grace transforming my eating habits. But everyone wants to send me their address to now get it shipped to them. They want to take it off my hands. Anyway, just looked up and saw that a moment ago. I'm sitting here with my guest, Tom Phillips, dear brother in the Lord, established leader for decades serving with Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And again, we give you a heartfelt invitation. If you're passing through Charlotte, North Carolina, or live within a few hours of here, if you've never been to the library, or if it's been some time, go. You'll be blessed. You'll be stirred. Great video exhibits and audio and relics, and you'll be ministered to. You'll find out why it's been such a great draw for so many people. Tom, before we stir hearts and encourage hearts even more, let's just discuss a social issue, because these are of great importance. Franklin Graham is, to me, the loudest Christian voice in America right now, speaking up for social righteousness in the body. We'll go to Dallas, Texas. Robert, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. So I called and I talked to you probably just over a year ago, and I had just gotten engaged and to be married. I am a gay man, and you had just finished writing your book, Can Homosexuals Be Christian? Can Gays Be Christian?
Yeah, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And then you said, okay, we'll send it to you. And sure enough, you guys did. And I read it, and you know, I actually agree with everything that you wrote. I think it was a really good book. And I really appreciated the time that you took and the compassion that you had, you know, that you have in your heart on the subject for people like myself dealing with the subject. Mm-hmm. I've since gotten married, and there's an interesting dynamic in my relationship that I notice you start to bring up in your book, but you kind of go off kind of saying that's not really a possibility. And the idea of being in a platonic marriage. So I've been in my relationship for 5 years. It's been a platonic marriage, relationship the entire time. The marriage has been completely platonic, celibate. There's been, you know, no activity of sexual nature. And so I'm kind of wondering, because, you know, as a believer in Jesus, you know, my problem with the gay issue in my life has been the fornication aspect. I've never been able to reconcile that, and I don't think you can. So I wanted to, you know, have abstinence there, but at the same time, I needed companionship, which is the reason that I'm in the relationship. And I'm very happy and fulfilled, but at the same time, you know, I know that the argument against, you know, the homosexual life is really about the sexual aspect. Can you go into...
Yeah, sure thing, Robert. And I'll share, and then if Tom Phillips wants to add to that, great. But first, I commend you for your heart, attitude, and wanting to please the Lord, and the fact that you have restrained from having any type of sexual contact with this man that you obviously care about because you want to honor the Lord. That's highly commendable, and many others could learn things about self-control from what you're saying. The problem is that marriage, as God defined it, is the union of a man and a woman. And to enter into a formal covenantal commitment of marriage can only be done with the opposite sex in God's sight. Only those two can come together and become one. If you just said you have a very close friend, a dear friend who's like a soulmate to you, and you're following Jesus together and living holy lives, that would be one thing. To call it a marriage is the thing that's wrong and that's going to bring further confusion. And it's unbiblical. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit your husbands. That's all presupposed. Children, honor your father and mother. A man leaves his father and mother, joins to his wife. The two become one. So that would be the issue, Robert, that it's not a marriage. You may have a close, committed friendship. People in the Bible were very close. Brothers were very close. People had served the Lord together. But it's not a marriage. And I don't want to say that and further deflate and discourage you, but that's the issue. It cannot be a marriage to someone of the same sex. It can be a close, committed friendship like some of us have had heterosexually over the years. And that would be the issue, sir, before the Lord.
I can appreciate that. You know, the thing is, the whole marriage thing, you know, yes, I understand the concept of a marriage that's defined in the Bible. And the words that I'm using, you know, that it belongs, you know, in the strictest spiritual sense, in that context between a man and a woman. I think the problem is, and the main driving force behind the idea or the reason for getting married, is that I've got one person that I'm going to spend my life with. And when it comes down to it, you know, I'm never going to be able to experience all of the benefits any other committed person is going to be able to experience, whether it's past benefits, whether it's, you know, the workplace and the recognition of a spouses. We happen to have employers who recognize this, you know, quote-unquote marriage. So it's really about, you know, getting into and fitting in a sense where, you know, we can carry on with our lives without being debilitated in spite of the fact that you may not be able to experience those benefits.
Yeah. Well, Robert. Yeah, Robert. Let me just say this, and I appreciate your perspective, and taking time to read through my book. You don't marry. I didn't marry for any of those reasons. In other words, I could care less if I get taxed twice as much. I could care less if the government recognizes nothing about. It's not I could care less, but that's immaterial to me. That to say we're doing it for certain benefits, or you can't. You can't dishonor God. You can't dishonor the Word. You can't just go with the spirit of the age and the trend of the society so that you can have certain benefits. It's not marriage. It will never be marriage. And if you want God's full blessing on your life, you need to recognize it's not marriage. Come to that conclusion before the Lord with your friend. Don't think of that person as your spouse, just as a good dear friend. And then go on and serve the Lord. And if you serve the Lord together, if you serve the Lord separately, do that. But I strongly want to encourage you before the Lord, don't fall into the spirit of the age. It's only because of the perversion of our day and the effects of the sexual revolution and sexual anarchy and destruction of marriage that's all around us that you can even talk in these terms. So take it to the Lord seriously. If you're calling for my input, I want to give it to you as plainly as possible. We'll be right back talking about God's answer to social chaos, sexual anarchy right here. On the Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm sitting here with Dr. Tom Phillips, author on several books on revival. Check out Revival Signs. We talked about that earlier in the broadcast. He serves as vice president of the Billy Graham Library and has served for many, many years with Dr. Billy Graham and now along with Franklin Graham. Tom, the caller just said that he's been in a committed same-sex relationship, but celibate. There's been no physical, there's been no sex. Let's just say that that happened. I mean, to me, it's very hard to think that you could really care about someone, male or female, spend 5 years closely together, live together, and not be sexually active. But what does it say about the state of our society that you can have someone who said, I want to be a Christian and sincerely please the Lord, but, you know, we can have same-sex marriage now and have benefits with it, so we'll be same-sex married, celibate, gay couple. What does it say about the state of America and church?
I think we would all agree within the Christian community that certain issues are moral issues. They're God-given issues. Marriage is one of those. Mm-hmm. Life is one of those. And there is a twisted mind that comes about whenever someone is not following the Lord. And in terms of, I mean, it is a relationship, obviously, but is it marriage? I think you handled it very, very well, that it is not marriage. The Bible is very clear. There are groups of people whenever unrighteousness reigns, mm-hmm. this is in Romans, that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And the Bible even says that God can give people over to a debased mind, which is what we see happening. What is right looks wrong, what is wrong looks right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we would say, listen, the Lord is Creator God.
Yes.
He made male and female a certain way for procreation, for communication, etc. And he did it because he loves us, not to be judgmental. He did it, gave us principles of living because it's best for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I talked at lunch, a person's choice for sin within the heterosexual or the homosexual community based on the will of God through the Word of God is their decision. But right now we're struggling with it in our communities because of militancy, trying to force an issue that we don't believe in at all on other people.
Right.
And that is very difficult for society today because every man, every woman should have the freedom to choose. But we also, as evangelists or as proclaimers of the good news, heralds of the gospel, want to say there's an answer to all sin, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when you receive him personally, he is so precious that you want to live for him. And that's what drives us. That's why the psalmist says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you're the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I don't mean to be simplistic, but our prayer is, God, show me what you want. Well, it's in the Word of God. Now, you, Michael, Tom, me, we're not perfect. We're sinners. I have error. You have flaws. It's because we go to the Lord and say, forgive me, that we can have the relationship with him on a continual basis. Salvation assured in Christ, yes. But the whole relationship is through daily confession.
Mm.
And I feel for all of us who ignore the fact that God's word says it one way and we arbitrarily decide that it's not correct. It is correct because he loves us.
And you know what's refreshing talking to you? At Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you are in touch with everything in terms of high tech and how to do things the best way and not just the most quality way, but the most cutting edge way and in touch with the younger generation and all of this. And yet, as we talk, we're not talking about the latest technique. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about God working. When we come back, I want to play the devil's advocate. Why does Franklin have to get so political? Why all these political issues? And then you shared a quote with me from A.W. Tozer during the break. You got to share it with everybody. We'll be right back.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so I'm always on the front lines. I'm every week writing articles on things happening in the society, addressing them on radio, writing books about these things. And all the more does it thrill my heart when I see a leader who has greater stature in the body and a louder voice around the world, Reverend Franklin Graham, speaking out consistently, always in a Jesus-centered way, but in a fearless way, not backing down. It's tremendously encouraging to me to see that. Others feel differently. I'm sitting with Dr. Tom Phillips, Vice President of the Billy Graham Library at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And Tom, you hear this a lot, so I'll raise the criticism the way you hear it. Why does Franklin have to get so political? I mean, one day he's talking about race issues, and another day he's talking about Islam, and another day he's talking about homosexual activism. Why doesn't he just preach the gospel, man?
Billy Graham or Franklin Graham preached the gospel and shared the truth about moral issues. We, in America, as we've turned our back on God, have made moral issues which came directly from God, the Creator God. Sex came from God. That's a moral issue. Life came from God. That's a moral issue. Faith came from God. Islam versus any other religion. That's a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Franklin's not being political. These are moral issues. Society has made these political. They're not political issues.
So if he was saying, hey, I'm leading the vote campaign because we have to build up the Republican Party or build up the Democratic Party, or we're going to build up the Tea Party, and we're going to put all of our funding into candidates, even though that could be a good or a bad cause, that would be political.
That would be political.
Got it.
Yes. And he's not saying that at all. He's speaking from the Word of God about moral issues that came directly from Creator God.
All right. So he recently posted something having to do with police authority, and some took it as he was criticized for being racist, all these different people asking him to apologize. Then when I looked at the people asking him to apologize, I said, those are the ones you want criticize you. You know, so I understood there are different perspectives. But was that a misstep, or was he misunderstood? What was the point of that, and what's happened now with interracial relations?
Franklin has a festival building in Birmingham, Alabama, and went down and met with the mayor and the fire chief and the black pastors, and they respect him for being the leader and speaking out. We need leaders. They understand he's speaking on moral issues, and they were very supportive after they heard his heart, because the media had twisted it and made it look like something he was not saying. What he was saying is respect authority, and these things won't happen.
Yeah,
it's a difficult issue. I was in Oklahoma City the same day, helping the crusade director there, or the festival director, and I met with African American pastors who asked me the same question, and I explained that God has called Franklin to be a leader, and they agreed, and I said God's called you to be a leader, and they agreed. And therefore, as a leader, do you have to take stands publicly? And they agreed. And I said, do you always do it perfectly? And they said, no. Do you want your people to support you when you take stands? Are you proud that Franklin and Mr. Graham have been, in some cases, lone voices out there for marriage, stronger than hardly any other person?
Yeah.
And they said, yes. So in perspective, we've had incredible support, as Franklin has. But the media, and it's not all the media, but some of them use these issues to divide and to be divisive, and we're sad for that, frankly, for our society.
Yeah. By the way, just looking at this post on Facebook from a Finnish brother, I was there at Billy Graham Library in 2012. I thought the place is built to exalt Jesus in very powerful way, 4 exclamation points. I was kind of surprised. I left the place with a sense it wasn't really about Billy Graham. It's like Book of Acts really isn't about the apostles, even though they were a highly important part of the story. The place reminded me that God can do extraordinary things through yielded praying vessels whose whole aim is to lift up his name. I think the Holy Spirit really impacted me in that place. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better response, could you?
That's correct. When the first plans were put together, in many ways, we thought good plans, and Franklin took him to his father, Mr. Graham said no. I told you, if this building is built, it has to be about Jesus Christ. there's far too much about this man, Billy Graham. We have to redo the plans.
Mm.
And there is a room, actually, in the galleries called The Man, and right under it is the scripture, The Man Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It is all about him. And the same thing would be true about Franklin's stands and statements that people say are political. He's just reflecting the moral values that God the Father and our Savior have given us. And we need to applaud him for that and stand with him.
Yeah, you know, there's something about the ministry, though. There's a wholesomeness that is so lacking in today's society. I saw a quote from Franklin speaking, I think, in Oklahoma. And someone said, how come your dad didn't address some of the issues you're addressing? And Franklin said, when my dad was growing up, they had prayer in schools and read the Bible in schools as opposed to, you know, in sex ed education class. This is my part, you know, saying this, where they're talking about different things that adults in our generation would be embarrassed to talk about. They're talking about to 12-year-olds in a sex ed class in middle school or something like that. Different world.
Yes.
Different world. There is that aspect of, okay, if you go back to the Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best kind of things, a certain wholesomeness to life that Billy Graham's ministry represented. And that's something we have to get back to, the wholesomeness of the gospel. And that's why it's so critical to just keep pointing people back to Jesus and foundations and basics, as Franklin continues to do.
This comes in many ways from the family. Parents tutoring their own children as the educators, spiritually as well as academically. One of our friends, younger lady, was at a swimming pool recently with her son, and he came over and told her, and she went over and looked, and the children were on an iPhone looking at sexual relationships between adults at the pool, and they were all gathered around the smartphone looking at actual sex acts at a swimming pool, little, you know, not even teenagers, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and they went. So this friend of ours said to the mother of the boy with the phone, don't you think you should ask him to not do that? And the mother of the son with the phone showing the sex acts just waved her hand and said, it's just the way life is today.
Oh, gosh. It's so sickening.
I know. So what do you expect from the child then who has no training from his or her parents about real life?
Yeah.
And that's not real life.
And that's why we make such a big fuss about marriage and family. Look, just reading stats about most children in America today do not live in, quote, traditional homes. Or I've looked for years and grieved, knowing there must be a special calling on Black Americans because of the satanic attack to attack the family. High abortion rates, now 72% of Black kids being raised without a father. I mean, to me, that is Satan trying to destroy people that God wants to use and raise up. That's why we contend for marriage, for family, because the wholesomeness of the gospel is the wholesomeness of life. We've been married, how many years, Tom?
47.
47 years you've been married. I've been married 39 years now. When I said we, I mean each. Okay, so that's so rare now when you hear that, whereas growing up as kids, that was the norm. So, you know, it's not we're trying to be old-fashioned. We're trying to get back to God's ways, knowing God's ways bring life and health. And you got kids now that someone was telling me, a pastor the other day, that a large percentage of people using Viagra are men in their 20s because they're burnt out sexually or they're burnt out with pornography. They're in their 20s. And you get kids now getting exposed to pornography at the age of 8, stuff like that. What effect does that have? It's madness.
It is madness. And, of course, the stats are appalling when we look at young women with children who go into a single-parent situation. And I think it's right at 70% go under the poverty line immediately.
Mm.
It's very difficult financially. It's very difficult socially. It's very difficult individually. But think of someone like Ben Carson's mother, who was a single mom.
Yeah.
And she held her children to the principles of God's word, and look what happened with a man named Ben Carson.
Yeah. So even with all the adversity, we're not piling on. We're saying, got to put Jesus in the middle of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Got to put Jesus in the middle of it. All right, friends, talking to Tom Phillips, my own heart is stirred. I want to get home and pray, spend more time with God. There's a great quote from A.W. Tozer, And why don't you read it, and then we'll come back on the other side of the break and talk about it.
Anything that God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you.
All right.
So hope. We have hope.
We have hope because it is in God. And if God could raise up a Billy Graham and now look at the family legacy and the multiplied millions touched around the world, if God could send revival in the most unlikely times to the most unlikely vessels, with the urgent needs in America and around the world today, what does he want to do here? What does he want to do through you? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm around all kinds of ministry settings, and often people are talking about this is succeeding and this is doing great and that's doing great in numbers. And I'm all for numbers in terms of those are lives, those are people being touched. And I'm all for succeeding versus failing in the work of the Lord. And I'd rather have money in the bank than be living on the streets. I mean, obviously. But the real issue is knowing Jesus. The real issue is the Holy Spirit moving. And it's a joy to sit with a senior leader in the body, Dr. Tom Phillips, author, and for many years serving in various capacities in Dr. Billy Graham's ministry and Franklin Graham's ministry, a real statesman in the church. And Tom, obviously your heart is burning. You've teared up a number of times just talking about the Lord and his presence today. Whatever's on your heart, share with our listeners.
I think we can never overestimate the Lord. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that whatever we can think of, whatever we can imagine, he can do even more. And we talked earlier in the other hour about praying that we would be the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. And that would be my prayer for our listeners, to join together our hearts to pray that we, regardless of age, would be the generation who seeks his face.
Yeah.
And sometimes for those in the know, and a lot of Americans are not informed or uninformed of what's going on in our country, in our political structure, economically, or in our world. But when you know, it can look fatalistically hopeless.
Yes.
But the Bible says, enthroned in the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in you. Mm-hmm. They trusted.
Yeah.
And you delivered them. They cried to you with a capital Y and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. So it is all about Jesus, because if you look at the whole planet and all of creation, all the nebulae, all the Milky Way and the galaxies, he created that. And our situation is not beyond his power.
Mm-hmm.
He is Creator God and Almighty God. All the ends of the earth, the Bible says, shall remember and turn to the Lord. If we'll do that, he can restructure us.
Yeah.
He can reset us as surely as an electrician can go to a fuse box where the switch has been flown and there's no power in the house, and he just resets it.
Yep, yep.
And starts it anew. Or a computer guru goes to a computer and it needs to be rebooted.
Mm-hmm.
So he can clean off what's on the disk and reboot it, and it's better than it ever was. So we don't want to be fatalistically hopeless. We want to be incredibly providentially encouraged, because our God has told us nothing is beyond my power. So if we can imagine revival, if we can imagine us as a people seeking his face, if we can imagine our children turning back to him, he can do more than that. He says, whatever you can imagine, whatever you can think, whatever you can dream, I, God, can do more than that.
If we can imagine America being known for solid marriages, America being known for sexual purity, America being known for reverence for God, seems outlandish. But if we could imagine that, God can do more than that. And, you know, we use the means at our disposal. Franklin Graham has a very strong voice through social media. He'll just post something on Facebook, and next thing, millions of people are repeating it, and the media is talking about it. You work with expertise in internet outreach and things like that. I do my best through radio and other ways. And yet we know it's the Spirit who has to do the work. These are tools, but ultimately it's just like a dead body without a spirit. It's the spirit who does the work. If he does it, anything's possible.
That's right. Jesus said, when I go away, you will actually do greater works than I have done. Certainly he meant the power of the Holy Spirit residing in his children. But in his own way, he knew technology was coming. We can blanket the globe with truth immediately. It's amazing to look at the monitor in the library and see someone receiving the gospel in Yemen or Sri Lanka or Hong Kong. And yet it's emanating from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
More than we could ever ask or dream or think. So when it comes to trusting God, let's not trust him too little.
Yeah.
You cannot trust him too much. God's not worried about our trusting him too much.
Yeah.
He's worried about our not trusting him enough. We can believe and we can lay a base of prayer. Power is unleashed, and God in his time will renew this country. Revival is imminently underway. Pockets of light are spreading, and light always, always overcomes darkness.
Always. It does. And we shouldn't be asking God to put a Band-Aid on the wound. We should be asking God to raise the dead, to do the impossible, do what you can do. And to the extent we realize it's beyond our reach, it's too big for us. When God called me to get involved with the issues having to do with homosexual activism, I knew in the natural, for this generation, it was a lost cause. And the thing for me was good. That's, my hope is in God alone, not in Mike Brown, not in any structure, not in any ministry. Our hope is in God alone. Hey, just a couple minutes, but an update on the My Hope campaign and internet outreach. What's happened?
Well, in Mr. Graham's public preaching ministry, 212 million people personally preached to 3.4 million decisions. But when Franklin took over the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, a younger mind, the son, working with Mr. Graham, they started taking My Hope around the world, 30-minute programs, Mr. Graham preaching or Franklin or a movie, adding local testimonies. Plus, they started the internet ministry. And in those 10-plus years, from 3 million decisions, we've gone up to nearly 19 million through technology.
Wow.
So God told us in the last days, I will do a new thing. So My Hope now in America, Mr. Graham's 95th birthday, the message was the cross. This is his heart. Last year, the message was heaven. And the cross, we know of at least 100,000 people who made commitments from the cross as it was around his 95th birthday, November the 7th, a couple of years ago. So the Lord told us the Holy Spirit and technology, use them both and use them well.
Yeah, and get the message out, back to the basics, you said last hour, but back to the basic, Jesus himself. And friends, to connect with Dr. Graham's ministry and Reverend Franklin Graham's ministry, go to BGEA.org, as in Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, BGEA.org. And Tom, one of the great delights living here is that we get to connect, be part of the great work that's been there. It's been an honor and privilege to be associated with the ministry there. The New Decision magazine came out. I've got an article on Israel there. So it's an honor to partner with you, and we're so thrilled for what God continues to do with Dr. Graham and with Franklin at the helm. Thank you for all you do, Tom.
Well, thank you. And let me tell you that we recommend the School of Fire and Michael Brown everywhere we go. Thank you for your ministry.
Oh, well, thank you. And by God's grace, the gospel is going forth. The fire is spreading. And you know what's interesting? And we're out of time. But I'm encouraged. I pray crazy big prayers. I'm encouraged to pray bigger prayers. After our little talk, I'm encouraged to pray bigger prayers. Friends, get along with God. Yeah, pray for the little things, the practical things, but ask God to do it. Only he can do the impossible things. And friends, check out our website, askdrbrown.org. Check out my latest articles. Very soon, we're going to be posting regular YouTube videos on an even daily basis, short videos to stir your hearts. Check out the entire 2 hours I spent with Tom Phillips today on the website. And then click on the resource offer. Find out how you can be blessed with this. My bottom line today, how big, how great, how powerful is God? That's how our prayer should be. Just that big, just that great, just that powerful. And God will answer.